There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A jewel in the desert.
A round city full of merchants, rulers, and scholars.
The great minds of the Abbasid Empire.
This is Figures of Baghdad. Hello, fellow travellers. Welcome to Figures of Baghdad. I'm Dina.
And I'm Ali.
Ali, the chaos of the anarchy in Samarra is even more intense than the War of the Two Brothers. I liked how you put it.
From anarchy to civil war.
And the people involved, from Mustain to Kabiha and all Matas, are in a lot of ways caught up by different factions.
Yeah, we can see how people like Al-Mutaz try to navigate the politics of the Turkish guard, only to really become victims of it. You'll see some of these guards actually in the game.
We had a bit of a spoiler because we kind of know what happens to Al-Mutaz.
And he has an interesting story and a really messy life.
Those are my favourite.
And he's Mutawakkil's favourite too, probably because of his love for Kabiha. Mutawakkil increasingly favours Mutaz over his eldest son, Al-Muntasir. He even makes moves to make Al-Mutaz his successor.
Which is what started the anarchy in Samarra. The Turkish guard sided with Al-Muntasir and assassinated the Khalif.
Yeah, on that night, Al-Mutaz is actually pressured by the powerful factions backing Al-Muntasir to relinquish any claim he has on the Caliphate and to give an oath of allegiance to his brother. Now, these oaths of allegiance are incredibly important in medieval society. It's what forges the relationship between people and groups, but it doesn't seem to be enough this time.
If everything had gone smoothly, that should have been the end of it.
But Al-Muntasir is killed, or maybe he dies, only a couple months later though, and without an heir.
So technically Al-Mutaz should be Khalif now. He was his father's favourite son, and he was a younger brother to Al-Muntasir.
Right, but again the Turkish guard intervene. Instead, his cousin is appointed Khalif, Al-Mustain.
So the Turkish military basically takes over succession entirely. They're deciding who gets to be Khalif. That's how powerful they've become. Because they were a separate faction built by the Khalif to be loyal to the Khalif, they end up having more direct influence and power over the Khalif.
And of course, add to that the geography of Samarra.
That's right, where Baghdad was a city full of all sorts, but Samarra was built as a military and administrative city.
Right, and we definitely can't overlook how the military structure of Samarra lent power to the troops over the Khalif. In a lot of ways, the Khalif was at the mercy of those troops. He's quite literally surrounded by them. But which of the troops is the question?
You had grand khalifal palaces that displayed the power of the Khalif, surrounded by the military garrisons of the Turkish troops. The garrisons projected military power, but that military power now was directed at the Khalif himself.
And then there were the main rivals to the Turkish Mamluks, the Shakariya, elite cavalry troops.
Because in addition to the Turkish guard, there were other factions like the Anbar and Khorasaniya. Let's break these down a bit more. Some of these we've heard about before, Ali.
That's right. The Anbar were the elite old guard who descended from the Arabs who had settled in the region. The Mamluks were the Turkish slave soldiers who came to dominate in Samarra. The Khorasaniya were mounted Persian troops. And the Shakariya were an elite cavalry unit. Some of these you'll actually get a glimpse of in the game.
That is a lot of different military factions.
That's what makes the anarchy in Samarra so chaotic. The Shakariya, in fact, at one point rebel on behalf of Al-Mutaz and have to be put down. They charge the honor guard of Mustain. The Khalif tries to buy them off, but it quickly gets out of hand and fighting breaks out in the streets. The losses are heavy on both sides.
The position of the Khalif is a lot weaker than in the past. We have the assassination of one Khalif, the attacking of another, and chaos in the streets.
Exactly. To secure his position, Mustain places his cousin Al-Mutaz under house arrest. He needs to keep him under close watch, just in case he's behind the various unruly troops.
So he puts him in jail. Actually, Ali, we haven't really talked much about jails until this point.
It's a little tricky because there isn't exactly a prison system as we imagine it today. Long-term imprisonment is not usually sanctioned by Islamic law. The only prisons that existed were usually military institutions that dealt with prisoners of war. For everyone else, detention was relatively short-term and pretty insecure. The oldest prisons of the Khalis were like literally house dwellings.
That sounds very different from the prisons with bars that we see today. It doesn't sound very secure at all, actually. I think anyone could escape.
They weren't very secure, and the mention of escape is bringing up a funny story for me. And during one of the early caliphates, there were two twins, and one of which was imprisoned. But because the dwellings weren't particularly secure, they would switch spots so that they could have a weekend off, literally pulling off the old twin switcheroo.
Weekends off, that's actually really funny. It sounds like something straight out of a TV show. So when the records say the Khalif was imprisoned, they don't actually mean a prison system with bars or gates, something else, basically.
It's more akin to a type of house arrest. Still probably unpleasant, though. But Al-Mutaz was placed in this type of house arrest and likely kept in one of the palaces in Samarra.
Mu'taz's fortunes really fluctuate from the favorite son of his father to being imprisoned by his own cousin. Talk about bad luck.
And we've got another twist to his story, because along comes Abu Mashr.
The famous astrologer. I remember you reading one of his horoscopes for my star sign.
That's right. Our boy, the man, the myth, the legend himself. Apparently, Abu Mashr had gotten in trouble with Al-Musta'in, which is, typical of Abu Mashr. At one time, the Khalif asks him for the prediction of a particular event. And Abu Mashr does so, but the outcome is unfavorable to the Khalif, and that pisses him off a little bit. But worse, the prediction comes true. So not only is it unfavorable, but Abu Mashr is right. So what does Al-Musta'in do? He has him flogged. To which Abu Mashr responds quite humorously, "I hit the mark, so got hit."
I'm really starting to like Abu Mashr. He has such a mischievous personality and he's so quotable. From his troubles in the Fundot back in season one to his problems with the Khalif.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. So he was down on his luck because he had gotten flogged by Al-Musta'in. So he took a gamble, a big one. He cast a horoscope on a napkin and predicted that Mu'taz would be elevated to the Caliphate eventually. Then, in the dead of the night, he secretly passes that napkin to the imprisoned Mu'taz through a window, telling him, "Be patient, you will be Khalif soon." And sure enough, Mu'taz does eventually ascend to the Caliphate.
Abu Mashr coming through again. I bet it must have been a huge relief from Mu'taz to receive that type of news. And of course, that helps Abu Mashr too. He'd be back in favor with the new Khalif.
Exactly. Mu'taz appoints Abu Mashr to the position of court astrologer and gives him a handsome reward. But Mu'taz's turn of fortune is not really an easy one. In 865 CE, Musta'in takes his supporters to Baghdad, having increasingly lost control of some of the Turkish soldiers in Samarra.
The anarchy forces him to leave his military city, so he goes to Baghdad.
Back to the old capital, hoping to gather with his supporters there. With Al-Musta'in gone, the remaining troops free Al-Mu'taz and name him Khalif, just as Abu Mashr predicted.
Okay, let's recap this again. So he goes from favorite son, to passed over for succession, to imprisoned, and now Khalif.
But a Khalif facing a civil war.
And we know from the life of Kabiha what happens. With his new position, he lays siege to Baghdad, and thanks to his mother, Kabiha, he's able to force Musta'in to relinquish his claim to the caliphate.
Yeah, but by that time, the damage had been done. Even though the civil war really only lasted a year, a lot shorter, in fact, than the war of the two brothers, it was devastating.
We heard about the damage to the city. The once glorious round city was scarred by war. Broken roads, damaged canals, and destroyed buildings.
The damage was devastating, Dina. We have historians at the time mentioning how long it took to rebuild the city. Even the great mosque was damaged. And of course, the political situation would continue to deteriorate as well. Despite winning the civil war, Mu'taz would be the next victim of the anarchy in Samarra.
Navigating politics was tricky enough, but having to balance the loyalties of the different military factions is even more fraught. The addition of the Turkish troops that were initially loyal directly to the Khalif, but who became a power block of their own, meant now the Khalif had to manage their interests too. In other words, the Khalif's own guards had to be managed carefully.
And Mutaz really tries that. He slowly replaced the heads of the various Turkish troops, Bugha, Wasef al-Turki, and others, consolidating his power, trying to manage the different factions. But he's unable to pay off the troops who had lifted him up to the caliphate.
The anarchy in Samarra plus a year-long civil war would have depleted the treasury for sure. The money it takes to buy off troops, to mobilize a war, and then the funds needed to rebuild would be incredibly costly. I also imagine if the Khalif's position is weak, then it's hard to bring in further revenue from the territories. He's trying to manage the unruliness of Samarra and Baghdad, which leaves little time for anything else.
Too true, Dina. That becomes his undoing, really. He tries to sideline the powerful Tahirid family in Baghdad. We'll actually talk about them next. And eventually, the son of Wasif, Saleh, comes to power.
That's when they demand their payment and al-Mu'taz has to turn to his mother, who for whatever reason ends up abandoning her son.
And once she doesn't pay, he's imprisoned and dies in 869 at the hands of the very troops that put him in power in the first place. He ruled for roughly 3 years. I mean, this time the troops take great pains to demonstrate they didn't directly kill him. They put his body and white cloak on display to his family to show that it was not stained with blood like in the case of al-Mutawakkil. But the reality is that they likely abused him in prison and he died of either thirst or their brutality.
Yet another Khalif killed. How many Khalifs come into power and fall during the anarchy in Samarra, Ali?
Well, from Mutawakkil, you have Al-Muntasir and Al-Musta'in, Al-Mutaz, and then there's Al-Muhtadi, who only really rules for about a year, and then finally Al-Mutamid, who along with his brother puts an end to the anarchy in Samarra. So in total, we're looking at like 5 or so caliphs who die or are murdered by one faction or another.
Gosh, that really highlights how badly things have changed. The Abbasid Caliphate, now with 2 capitals, was more divided than ever.
Yeah, too true. Al-Mutawid would really stabilize the empire again. But you're absolutely right. The politics were just so different now. The Abbasid dynasty was fractured. And though they would continue to be a powerful force for several more centuries, in fact, to the 13th century, the politics would be fraught. This was their new reality. Baghdad would continue to be intellectually, culturally, and even politically important, but the power of the Khalif himself was waning. The empire remained strong for centuries still, but something had changed.
Mu'taz's changing fortunes from favorite son to passed over to imprisoned to Khalif to betrayed by his own troops highlight the changing fortunes of the empire itself. Khalifs were now being appointed by the very guards they brought in to protect them. They had become just another player in the game of politics rather than the player. And the chaos doesn't end with anarchy in Samarra. Stay tuned for the seeds of rebellion. Thank you all for coming along. I'm Dina.
And I'm Ali. This is a Ubisoft podcast produced by Paradiso Media. Be sure to subscribe to the Echoes of History podcast so that you don't miss the next episode of Figures of Baghdad. See you next time, fellow travelers.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.